in some of the qualifications in chapter 3. It says here in verse 6, not a novice. In other words, not someone who is inexperienced in God, who doesn't know anything of the spiritual things. So in a sense, that refers to his church life. And he's not someone new to authority or new to leadership. And then there is also their professional life. In verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7 of 1 Timothy, that he must have a good testimony outside. Now many people, when they appoint a leader or they choose a leader, they only look at one of those qualifications. But there are four categories. There is a personal character, there is family life, there is a church life, and there is business life. Think about the mistake you will make if you choose a person on the fourth category but who never attends a prayer meeting in the church. Never knows what it is to fast and pray. But the people he rule, three quarters of them have fasted and prayed. Think about what you will do to the church if you put someone like that on top. Or maybe you choose it on the other area, where you choose it just based on church ability and service. And the person could be partly working in the church, partly working in the world, and he has a nasty reputation outside. Then it's just like you have a blind spot. You don't realize the other part of the person. Because the person who's serving under you knows how to pull the ropes, right? And knows how to behave when you're around. But he has a nasty reputation outside. So you're going to hurt the church if you ignore the fourth category. So as we choose a leader, we have to look at some qualities. Qualities in four areas. And then once they pass the quality test, there is, of course, the area of God's choice. We may propose, God may dispose. So we have to consult with Him. And in Acts chapter 14 verse 23, before they selected elders, the Bible tells us they fasted and they prayed. Why do they fast and pray? They have to find out God's choice. In the book of Luke chapter 6, before Jesus selected His 12 disciples, Jesus went up all night praying. I wonder how many pastors and how many leaders or how many fivefold ministers fast and pray before they select leaders. You can do a survey. You can do a background search. But there's nothing like fasting and praying and searching in the heart of God. Because all the rest that you do will only hit point one, the qualities. We still need to find out God's choice. It was God who told Moses, Joshua is the one you must inaugurate to follow after you. So we have God's choice. First, the qualities. The second is God's choice. God has His mind. God is the one who plans and orchestrates the whole thing. We need to look in the God's decision-making process. And when we have passed God's choice, number three, you have to spend quality time with these people. Quality time. That means now the sacrifice is demanded from you. First is their sacrifice. Second is the mind of God. Third comes from you. Because leaders or successors have to be nurtured very, very closely and carefully. Moses had Joshua following him everywhere. Bible calls Joshua his servant. It's remarkable that at the end of Moses' career or ministry, it was his servant who took over. Wouldn't it be interesting that we don't realize the impact of it, because he was actually a real servant.
It will be like a big, huge church. Maybe it's 10,000. And there's one chauffeur who always chauffeur the pastor around. Why? The big pastor of the 10,000 member church doesn't have time for any of his associates, doesn't have time for anyone, anything. And his chauffeur spend more time with him than his wife. And one day, because he didn't prepare and mature for a successor, he just got taken home. Nobody knew what to do because everybody only knew 1/1000th of what he did. And then they look around. It was the chauffeur who knew everything he did. Lo and behold, the chauffeur took over. So we realize that we have to put quality time into the people. We have to pour our lives into those whom, when we have passed the first two tests of the area. The first helps us to streamline into a limited group. The third becomes God's choice. And then the second becomes God's choice. The third becomes our decision making. We've got to decide to take time to pour our lives into these people. To go behind the scene. To kneel down. To pray with them. My church at the moment, after 7 years, the Lord say the 7th year has come. I say, yes, sir. The Lord say, train successors. Yes, sir. Right? No, don't be worried. It's not my little son who's 5 years old. No, there are about 3 people whom God has placed in my heart. We have about 15 pastors, but there are 3 of them God placed in my heart. So I've started to take them aside. So how do you train? We meet and we pray. Seek God together. After he preached, I sat with him and say, well, what do you think? We discuss. We talk. And so we discuss doctrine. Ask me questions on the Bible. We just go through the Word together. It takes time. But it's an investment that's necessary. A lot of pastors who are successful are so taken up by their success, they forgot successor. Success without successor equals failure. That's a new formula, right? See, it's important. Because the work of God needs continuity. Continuity is important in any work of God. God is not here to establish one man. God is here to establish the church of Jesus Christ. God is not trying to establish an organization, no doubt. But every organization should be birthing new things in the Lord. And there should be an element of continuity. If we do it right, the impact of the continuity can affect for generations to come. Because of what Samuel did and starting the school of prophets, that impact continued right up to the end of the kingdom years. That's many, many years ahead. So we have the first area. And there is another theme that flowed through, right? We'll look at the other theme afterwards. Let's look at chapter 2 now in the area of different age brackets. In different age bracket, we see first of all the older men in verse 2 and the older women. If you look very carefully at the characteristic, there are some common things that are looked for in both of them. One of them is the word reverent. Reverent means people who are respectful. Because when we grow old, we can walk around like the grand old man or grand old woman, calling everybody young man, a young woman, and demanding respect. Remember this, that no matter what our age, and especially if we are older, some of us may have come across sometimes older men and older women who don't know much but try to push their way through age. That's called a lack of reverence. Reverence means to respect people for who they are, where they are placed, and a respect for authority, a respect for things that are there. So Paul told Titus to instruct them in these things. And some of the things are like being sober, being reverent, temperate, sound of faith, in love and in patience. Older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, and that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And so there are four different age brackets. First of all, as we look at this area, we realize it's also found in 1 Timothy. The four different age brackets in chapter 5, verse 1, 1 Timothy. Verse 1 and verse 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Now that's good advice. Never ever rebuke an older man. Say, what happens if your church is large, you got people of different age bracket, and an older man makes a mistake and you're a young man? You know what I do? I look for another older man. Maybe about his age or slightly older. And says, can you help me? I need you. And that person will understand the principles. Say, I need you to go and help that person there. It works. It sure does work. So there is a certain secret that Paul told Timothy. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. We would never scold our father. We will never raise our voice against our parents. We will never shout at them. All these are acts of rebellion. Modern society may in time to come permit it. But as far as the word of God is concerned, it's a sign of a rebellious attitude. We speak softly to an older person. And we entreat them as we entreat fathers. And so there is a skill in relating to older men. And older men also like to be treated like fathers. It's inside their heart. Because the older they grow, the more they want sons. For some of them, too late. Right? So they can have many, many spiritual sons. And they like that. And when you entreat them and you relate to them in that way, it's important key. Well, let me give some keys when you relate to older men, after we look at older women. And here, older men, his principles are number one, treat them like fathers. Get into a fatherly and son relationship, father and son relationship with them. Yes, even if you're a prophet of God, with 10 times the anointing of Elisha, it doesn't mean that you could use that and come against them. We always treat them as you treat a father. Right? You could be so successful that you could, let's talk about the business world, you could be the chairman or managing director of 20 conglomerate companies, and always you're calling the shots, and you could be in your 40s, but when you go home and visit daddy who is in his late 60s, you don't call him as you call a board meeting. No, you know, no matter how successful you are, daddy will always say, come on, boy. But there is a certain love relationship that can develop. Because the first key is treating them as father. Second key, there is also involved in that, but we put it as number two, never raise your voice against an older man. Never ever. No, never raise your voice. And then the other keys are keys that I developed and found and add to what Paul's advice is. Number three, never rebuke an older man from the pulpit. Okay, never do that. Now we go to number one. Then we go to, by rebuking from the pulpit, we're not talking about teaching or corrective teaching. We mean by naming them, by calling out their names and saying this, 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 this. It's never good.